No matter what happens. Linda, we love you. Okay, all right. The scripture reading this morning is taken from Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read a couple different verses in chapter 2 as listed in your bulletin. Verse 1, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And then flip over, if you will, or if you're following in your Bibles, chapter 2 and verse 6 through 8. Likewise, urge younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity and dignity and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Wouldn't that be great? Verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Happy Father's Day. I got a question mark there. Anybody know why I got a question mark there?
It's not always happy.
I forgot. You're such a quiet church. Boy, that's going to change because, you know, I'm going to be encouraging you here. Go ahead.
It's not always happy.
It's not always happy. Yeah. See, she looked at my slides before I started here. Yeah, it's not so happy for many. And for some of you, you can say, yeah, that's really true. because many are plagued with horrible memories of their father. I was talking with someone this past week, and we were talking about Father's Day message. And they said, you know, Father's Day is not happy for me. She told me that my relationship with my father was anything but happy. And probably there are some of you here this morning that can resonate with that, right? Wasn't always happy. And so today, you know, is a sad day for some. And then some are grieving. Marcia was talking to me before the service and said, it's a bittersweet day today, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Because of grief, you know. We have lost our fathers and lost sons. And my sympathies. And still others, never knew their father. Don't even know who their father was. Do you ever think about that? So it's not very happy for many, many people. And still others may even despise their father. And so, happy Father's Day. I want you to be aware that it's not always happy for everyone today. And to be sensitive to those that have had the kinds of relationships with their father or lack of relationships with their father that have been anything but happy. And to be sensitive to that. And to connect with them in whatever experience they had with their father, whether it be a happy one, then be happy. But if it's not so happy, then grieve with them. You know, what I love about this church, and one of the reasons that I'm here, because, you know, I'm 73. I never thought I'd be back in the pulpit again. And, you know, I love you guys, you know, because, and that's why I'm here, because I love you guys. And, you know, I understand that you love me, too. That's why I'm here. And one of the reasons why I love you so much is because you connect with people. You connect with people. And next Sunday, I'm going to be doing a message on outreach, reaching out to our community, reaching out to those that you know, friends, neighbors, relatives, strangers maybe. Deb and I, we already made up some cards that I'm going to be giving out to you next week. And hopefully you'll be sharing those. You better be sharing those, right? With people that you can come in contact with. And already know that you're the kind of people that know how to connect. There are some other churches in the area, some that are very large. And it's very easy, you know, to come into the pew and, you know, listen to the message and leave and no one even says hello to you. That's not the case here. You come here, we're going to know who you are. And by the way, if anybody's here for the first time, you can have one of these Dunkin' Donut cards as well, okay? So if you're here for the first time, we're going to just start doing that. I'm preaching next week's message already, okay? But anyway, I want to encourage you to hurt with those that hurt. Laugh with those that laugh. Grieve with those that grieve. And that's how you can connect with all people and say, hey, we're a church that does that. And so all of the things that I just said to you about it's not so happy, they're all a result of the fall. You know, in Adam, Paul says in Romans, that we have all sinned. In every difficult experience that we encounter here on earth right now, and as Caesar was talking about earlier, you know, our country, man, what a mess. What a mess, right? But it's all a result of the fall. And, you know, here's the great thing. Here's the great thing. God says, you know what? And speaking to men today, right? Are we fixers, guys? Ah, Jim's laughing, you know. Men, not, women, not so much, but men, we got to, you know, Deb starts to share some things with me, and all she wants me to do is listen. And I'm there, well, you got to do this, you know, and I give her about a list this long of things she can do to fix whatever the problem is. She's shaking her head. Yeah, she hates that, right? And she has said to me a number of times, you don't have to fix this. Right? I just want you to listen. And, you know, God is a great listener. And that's what prayer is all about. God loves it when we pray, when we go to him, and he listens. But you know, Deb, one thing I like about God is he's a fixer too. Hey? Hey? And God says, you know this problem that occurred in the fall that affected everybody? And Romans 8 says that the whole world groans right up until this present time, as in the pains of childbirth or kidney stones. They say that's the male equivalent of giving birth, so, and I can attest to that's very, very painful. But anyway, God says, I'll take care of this mess. I will take care of this mess. Hallelujah! We have a God that says, I'll take care of Caesar. God's in charge of this country. Amen. Even though it may not look like it, God is sovereign. Nothing is going to happen apart from what God says is going to happen. What God has ordained is going to happen. God says, I'll take care of that. And, you know, I love this verse because here's how he fixes it. And notice, in love. In love. Do you know how much God loves you? Huh? In love, he predestined us. That's you and me, right? If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then God has predestined us. I don't know about you, but, let me finish the whole verse. Predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And that's in Ephesians 1:5. And why that little stuff is happening on the bottom, I have no clue. We'll fix all this PowerPoint so it'll get to where it needs to be. But in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself. Now, as I said earlier, Father's Day is not so happy for many. And for those people, I'm sure they would say, boy, you know what? I would love it if a loving father adopted me. It sure would be better than living with what I lived with. I got great news for you. You have a father. You have a father that loves you. And he says, I'm going to adopt you. Boy, you ought to be saying amen to that. I mean, come on. Right? Now, my father, he was a kind of a milquetoast sort of guy. My mom, well, that's a whole other story. But anyway, it wasn't until later in life that he said that he loved me. And in fact, when I told him I was going to go to Bible school and be a minister, he said, if you go to Bible school, I will, sorry, wasn't part of the script. I will never speak to you again a day in my life. And I looked at him and I said, so be it, Dad. And he left. And for many years, he didn't speak to me until 1983 when the church said that they wanted to ordain me as a minister. And so my father found out that he came to my ordination. And ever since that time, things changed. And I remember kneeling down, and he asked me to come over in the latter years of his life. And he asked me to come over, and I kneeled down at his chair, and I said, what do you want, Dad? And he put his hand on me and he said, I am so proud of you for what God is doing in your life. And you know, that only happened. And that only happens because, well, what happened to me here? Well, because God predestined him, me, to be adopted as his sons and daughters. You know, and those years were hard. When I was in Bible school studying, knowing that my father was never going to speak to me again because I was studying God's word and I was going to be serving God for the rest of my life. And here I am at 73 still, right? But I drew upon this, that I've got a father that loves me. And you know what? He's a heavenly father, and he's going to be my father for an eternity. Isn't that wonderful to know that you have a father like that? Amen. There you go. Amen. That's right, Jeff. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have a father like that. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to talk to me. You got my number in the back of the bulletin, and I'll be available whenever you call me. I might have to call you back or something, but I will get to you. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A lot of you, you know, have heard this maybe for a lot of times. I don't know if that's good English, but a lot of times. You know, and you've heard a lot about, but you've never taken that time to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. And I want you to forgive me for my sin. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to give my life to you. It's one thing to attend church. It's another thing to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's right. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear or to fall back into the old way of life or even the old experiences that you had with your father, but you have received a spirit of adoption, You know, and my mother and father, for all that they were, they never divorced. Praise the Lord for that. And you know, I never knew what it was to be adopted until some things started happening in my life, and you know, I and my mom and dad weren't around, and I thought, you know, God, I need you to adopt me, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Adopt me. And I drew upon this and thanked him. You know, think about, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, and God is your Father, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's adopted you, then man, that ought to rock you to your socks, right? To think about that. That's the God that we have. That's the Father that we're listening about today. Hallelujah, right? Amen. That's your Father. He's my Father, and he's your Father. And we share that in common. And as we think about moving forward as a church, a new beginning, we need to share that message to this whole hill, to this whole community. We need to share that message. Because it's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen, yeah. By whom we cry. Now, Abba Father. Now, what does Abba Father mean? Anybody know what that means? Now, you're quiet again, okay. Abba means daddy. That's what it means in the original languages. And this is the only place in the Bible that it's found. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now, what kind of father is God? You know, when you think about God, you think about him, most of us anyway, think about him as somebody that's almighty, you know, and reverent and, you know, stern and, you know, all, and he is that. And yes, we need to be reverent and so forth. But I'll tell you, I love this because it says that the word Abba Father means daddy. And can you call God daddy? It sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? I know people that know this verse, went to seminary with them, and, you know, we were challenged to say, hello, daddy. And there's a lot of guys that said, I just can't do that. You know, but he is our dad. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about daddy, but when I think about daddy, because God, well, before I get there, God is all-knowing. This is how we, three characteristics about God. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's present everywhere. That's some dad, isn't it? Right? And God is those things, right? But God the daddy, when I think of God the daddy, I'm going to get a new mic, by the way. God the daddy, when you think of daddy, I think of my little girl. Her name is Kimberly. And anyway, when she was a little girl, she would crawl up into my lap and call me daddy, and boy, you talk about melt my heart. And some of you here are grandparents. In fact, probably a lot of you are grandparents, as we are. And I got a little granddaughter now. Since I married Deb, I got a whole new family. And there's this one little gal. Her name is Izzy, and she's, what is she, 19 months? Something like that. And when you put her down and she sees me, she goes, Poppy, 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 you know, raises her hands and comes running to. That's the kind of God that we have in God the Father. And you know, when she does that, it just melts my heart. You know, and I'm going to encourage you today to think about that. See? That you can run to God. You can run to God with your hands saying, Daddy, 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 hold me. I want to crawl up into your lap. Because he's gentle, and he loves you. What am I doing? Uh-oh. I don't know what happened there. Did I turn it off? Maybe. Technical difficulties. One of the things that we... Anyway, I know the slide well enough to know that Daddy is gentle, he's kind, he's loving, and he wants you to come running to him with your hands raised and say, just like my little 19-year-old granddaughter, Poppy, 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 right? And she's so excited, right? And God, when I see her and she does that, I mean, I'm like a puddle on the floor, right? It just melts my heart. And that's what God does when you come running to him. He loves you that much, right? And no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're going through, and I talked with Bob Pratt yesterday, and we need to really pray for him. You know, Bob's a great guy. You know, and I haven't seen him in the last couple of weeks or so. And, you know, when I talked to him, he was, "Hello, Reverend Al, how you doing?" And I said, "How are you doing?" Right? And he's going through a lot. Brother Bill, he's going through some pain. No matter what we're going through, right, we can run to God and say, "You know what, God? Daddy, can I crawl up into your lap? Can you hold me? Can you take my pain? Can you minister to me? Can you comfort me? Can you stroke my hair?" That's the kind of God that we have because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we can have that personal relationship with him. And in closing this morning, I want to encourage all of you to think about Daddy this morning. We all know the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the God that's everywhere. We all know that we have that kind of a God. But do you know you have a Daddy? He loves you. And he's gentle. And he's kind. And he's waiting for you to run to him with open arms. Will you do that? As you leave here, think about today. It's Daddy Day, okay? And it's all about our Heavenly Father, who's not only our Father, but our Daddy. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the fact that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are our Daddy. Thank you for the many times that I ran to you and crawled up in your lap when I didn't know where I was going to go or what I was going to do. And you just listened. And you didn't fix my situation right then. But you faithfully listened to me, and I felt your presence. I felt your lap. And thank you for the fact that you are that kind of Daddy to all those in attendance this morning. And I pray that they might feel your presence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.